Great to have you here this morning. Welcome. You know, when our two-year-old grandson is at our place, there's been a rain that you've heard from, that we've heard from him over the last number of months, and the rain is this: why, Papu, why? And Papu is Greek for grandfather, and trust me when I tell you, it's a lot more dignified in Greek than it is in English. But you know, when they're so cute, you'll take the name Papu happily, right? You know, but that's been a common question to him, right? You know, when we spent time together, he says, "Why, Papu? Why?" You know, and it's like, you know, I don't know why. There's don't know why. You know, I don't know why those two look exactly the same, and one's got wings and one doesn't. I don't know why that's the color it is. I don't know why this sticks and that one doesn't. I don't, you know, I just don't know why. And I find as a two-year-old, he's making me realize how much I don't know. And that's kind of scary, right? And that's kind of scary. And I realize through the eyes of a two-year-old, the world is really a big place. There really is a lot that I don't know. And it's kind of cool to go on this adventure with a two-year-old and just see the world in a brand new way. And you know, the why question is still very important. Even though we don't fully understand it, even though we don't fully embrace it, even though we don't fully know how to answer it, the why question is really extremely important. If we don't take seriously the why question, we tend to become people, we tend to become creatures of just the how and the what. You know, how we do things and what we do become really important. But I don't know if you've ever had this experience in your life where you're doing all the hows, you're doing all the whats, and you get to a point and you say, why am I doing this? This is just a treadmill. This is just a work. This is just tiring. This is just exhausting. This is just getting me nowhere. And why do I continue to find myself in this situation? Why do I continue? And have you ever been in that place? And you figure out that you're working too hard, and you're working at in a process, or you're working to an end that you don't even know why you're even working towards it. And why suddenly becomes blurred in the background. And if you become a how and a what person, you just don't find any inspiration in anything. You don't find any motivation in anything. You know, and you get to the point where a conflict comes up, or a dead end comes up, and you're just done. And people see you walking, and people see you blanking out for some reason, like my mic is for some reason this morning. But anyway, and you find yourself exhausted at the end. And there's just something about why, just something about when somebody says, "What, you know, why are you going through all this trouble?" When you can say clearly in front of those people, "I'm doing this because it's going to change children's lives. It's going to feed people who, you know, it's going to help." You know, when we can say that, then people all of a sudden, then it's okay that you work so hard. It's okay that you do. I can see why you make the sacrifice. I can understand why you go through all this trouble. I can, you know, and suddenly it all makes sense. When people know the why, when people see the inspiration behind what it is that you do, what you do, it makes all the difference in the world. But if they just see you as just doing the work and nothing behind you, or any kind of a rationale that makes real sense and is going to really make a difference in people's lives, it's extremely difficult for them to understand why are you going and expending all that energy. Because all it is work. And work, if you haven't noticed, is a four-letter word. Work without a why behind it is nothing more than a four-letter word. Because we get trapped in the how, we get trapped in the what, and it just becomes a paycheck, and you know, we need paychecks, trust me. Okay, we need that, right? But the why makes all the difference in the world. True for a church, okay? Same is true for organizations. Same is true for what we do as a church. Why do we do what we do? What is it that motivates it? Is it all about the how, and is it all about the what? Is it all about the activities? Is it all about, you know, the ministries that we do? Is it all about gathering together in rows and a message on a Sunday morning? Or is there much more to all of this than just the how and the what? Because if we get the how and the what, it all becomes about nickels and noses. And it doesn't become anything about people and the rationale about nickels and noses. You never heard nickels and noses? Oh, that's a pastoral kind of, yeah. Nickels and noses, right? How many people and how much money? Okay? Oh, I'm sorry. You understood the Greek papu better than you did that one, right? Yeah. Right? But nickels and noses, that's to say money and people. Okay? All right, where was I? Okay. And you know, if you look at the Gospels, Jesus was all about the why. Jesus was all about the why. There's a couple of stories, a couple of, I think, really interesting stories that are told in the Gospels, but we get to the kind of like the end of the story, and there's this little verse, there's this little caption, and they're kind of thrown in there. We don't really understand why that caption or why that verse is attached, but the reason why it's attached, it's kind of like the why. There's a story in Luke 19 where this man, this short man called Zacchaeus, you know, and the kids sing the song in Sunday school, but he was a short little man. But he knew that Jesus was coming into town, right? And he couldn't see Jesus because of the crowds. So he decides to climb up a sycamore fig tree, right? So he can see Jesus. And the story goes on that Jesus comes, sees him up in the tree, and says, "Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house." Cool, eh? Just picks him out of the, you know, out of the tree and says, "I'm coming to your house," like this. Gets him, picks him out of the tree. Nobody got that, eh? Okay. Yeah, everybody, I know. I see the smilers. That's okay. You can keep smiling, right? Goes to Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus, you know, comes to this realization of faith. And it's a beautiful thing that Jesus says to him. Jesus says, "Now you have become a child of God. You have become a son of Abraham. Salvation has come into this house." Okay? Now, we love that story, great children's story, but there's a real problem. The problem is the people who would have been there. See, Zacchaeus is a tax collector, a despised tax collector. Nothing's changed, right? A despised tax collector. Just trying to keep you... Yeah. But he's a despised... He has made money, most likely, off the very people who are in the room, who have experienced what Jesus has just done for this person. Okay? Now, if you're a how or a what person, you're going to struggle with the very fact that Jesus has included into the kingdom of God, made a salvation son, made a son of Abraham, this very person who by all accounts should not be allowed into the kingdom of God. He's undeserving. Even though Zacchaeus himself has promised to make some kind of restitution back. And if you realize something, Jesus hardly doesn't even touch the restitution piece. He sees that as a bona fide expression of how Zacchaeus has now come to faith. Okay? And here's what Jesus says. Here's the line that Jesus gives at the end of that very passage. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." Right at the end of that story, as disturbing as it is for those of us that someone like that gets accepted into the kingdom of God, Jesus says, "This is why I'm doing it." You see, if you're struggling with the how and the what, it's just a social class, it's just a bad person, it's just, you know, someone who's deserving of something based on what they do for a living, based on their character, or all of those kinds of things. But Jesus says, you know what, it's much more than that. Here's the why I am doing this. You know, I am as the Son of Man, which was Jesus' favorite designation for himself. As the Son of Man, I came and to seek to seek and to save those who are lost. And everybody in that place would have said, yeah, Zacchaeus is lost. There's no doubt about that. Because as a how or what person, we can easily identify that. You see, and as a how and a what person, we would have said, he's not worthy of it. He's made his bed. He's going to lie in it. We can just push him aside. You know, he's a bad person. And we can objectify him as much as we want because he deserves it. But Jesus says, no, no. You know, it's much more than that. You see, when we center on the why, he's a lost person. And yet he is the perfect reason why I've come to this world, to this earth, to seek and to save those who are lost. Now, the rub in this passage is everyone, when compared to God, are lost. No one is outside of the grace or the love or the necessity of God's love. It's a beautiful picture. And it's and if you read the story, this verse kind of pops out at the end to remind us, because we're reading the story going, isn't that amazing what Jesus did? And Jesus said, I just want to remind you, this is why I'm doing this. That it's so important that if you lose a sense of the why, you just become a place of activity, you just become a how do we do it and what do? But we have no motivation, we have no inspiration, we have no real purpose behind it. We lose focus and we just become a place that becomes busy. And if you haven't noticed, busy is a four-letter word. There's a second story, too, that that I love. And it's in John 3. I've always been intrigued with the story. It's Jesus being approached by a man called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is a religious leader, and he would have been respected. He would have been well known, the implications from the text. And he approaches Jesus in the dark in the darkness, and he starts talking to Jesus. Okay? Now imagine can we just pretend a little bit here this morning? Imagine you are the of Nicodemus and you know that he's gone out to talk to Jesus, okay? And he comes home after this little visit. What do you think you're going to ask him as a family member? You're going to say, hey, so how did your visit with Jesus go? What'd you talk about? Did you compare the law? Did you talk about the law? Did you talk about, you know, Jesus' healing ministry? Did you talk about, you know, how he's able to know what he knows without really going to school? Because the rabbis in that day and age, you know, had a pretty extensive schooling. You know, imagine all the things that you would have imagined that the two of them would have talked about. What surprise would have been to you if Nicodemus had responded, oh, we didn't talk about any of that stuff? The first thing out of his mouth when we started talking was, you need to be born again. What kind of a shock would that have been to a religious leader? That the first thing out of Jesus' mouth, this respected man, this scholar of the law, the scholar of the Bible, and he would have said, and Jesus says to him, you need to be from above. You need to be born again. And Nicodemus says, I was stunned. So I said, what are you talking about? Does it mean I got to go back into my mother's womb and come out? And go, gee, no, no. We're talking about a spiritual rebirth here. We're talking about an invasion of God into your life that you need to believe in the one that the Father has sent. It's a beautiful, we all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Right? That God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Right? We know that so well. Here's John 3:17. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. We call that statement, we call it a why statement. We call it a why. It's not a how, it's not a what, but it's a why. See, when you have the mission to save the world, when you've been sent by the Father to sacrifice yourself for the sin of humanity, your perspective and your entire direction and motivation is so different than if you're just a how and a what person. Because how and what only gets you so far. And if you're not careful, it can get you burnt out. Only the why drives you to the type of energy and experience and motivation that will not only enliven you, but enliven the world around you. You see, if you go on the street and you say to people, you know, who is Jesus? Or like, what do you like about Jesus? Many people would say, oh, you know, he was a great teacher, he was a great healer, he was a great motivator, you know, he touched the poor, he gave a place for the disenfranchised, and all those are good and moral things, right? But let's be honest, apart from the thing, and other people in history have claimed to do that. Apart from the healing thing, almost anybody else could have done that. There are many people in history who have done really good moral things, right? But that's the how and the what. Jesus came because there was a really big why. And Jesus accomplished something that only he could have ever accomplished as the Son of God, as the incarnate Son of God. And that was to sacrifice himself to be the propitiation for the world, to take on the sins of humanity and to make us right with God, something that we could not do for ourselves. And whatever you stories of Jesus, and you read you read carefully, you know, and we love the picture of Jesus doing incredible things and touching people and healing people and all that stuff. Jesus stops in many of those stories and says, "This is why I'm doing this. Go and sin no more. That you're going to be a different person from here on in. That the why is so important." That this is not just a moral thing. This is just not an ethical thing. This is just not, you know, a feel-good thing. That I've come because of the greatest need that each and every one of us have in our lives. Is to know to be right with God. To be forgiven. To be healed. To have a right relationship. Not with just God, but with everyone around us. That's what makes this thing so, so cool. So cool. And I know we're in between sermon series, and I just thought, you know, with the congregational meeting today and all of that, I thought it would be a good time to remind us of the why. A good time to remind us of why is it that we exist? Are we just about the activity? Are we just about the how and the what? How many of you were here last week to see the baptismal service and the, you know, wasn't that just awful? Oh, wrong word. Yes. Why was it awesome? Tell me, why was it awesome? Why is it that I don't think I touched the ground going home last week, to be honest. Okay? I don't think I touched the ground. Huh?
Because we answered why.
Because we exactly... Oh, amen. Okay? I don't get very many amens, but you have an amen. Okay? Right? That's why last week was so powerful. Because in your heart, you knew that answered the why. You knew that that's what was going on, that it answered the why, that it made, you know, front and center everything that this church exists for. Okay? Exists for the glory of Jesus Christ. And we saw people who were having their lives transformed last week, who were acknowledging that Jesus had done something in their life. We saw parents who were saying, I'm committing to raising our kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as the scriptures say, and we're going to raise them because we know behind all of this there's a bigger why than just the what and the how. And we all celebrate it in a glorious way. And I would love to have a service like that every month, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, what I love about those services is that, you know, and forgive me if you were the one that said it, but somebody said to me going out the door, you sit there and you harp at us all week. Like, you know, okay, right? You know, today proved that there are people listening, not just to you, but to God. That was powerful last week. And that's why, because it answered the why. It took care of the why. And when we live in the why, you know, it motivates us, it inspires us, it moves us. You know, we don't get fuzzy about what it is that we do, you know. We all have gifts and we all have all that kind of stuff, and we all come together as a community, but let us never forget that we do this for a reason. We do this for a reason, for a why. Here's the last point I want to make, and this is why it's important. As a church, the why gives us clarity, focus, and purpose. All right? There are a lot of things that happen, and we have to be able to say, you know, sometimes we have to say no to things. Because it doesn't answer the why really well. It just makes us how and what people. And it doesn't contribute to the why in any way. And sometimes it's good, and I don't, you know, we just have to be very careful. But almost everything we do here as a church needs to be filtered through the why. Is this going to advance the kingdom of God? Is this going to make us better disciples of Jesus Christ? Is this going to draw people closer to Him? Is this going to communicate that Jesus is the only reason, right, to have faith in anything? That Jesus is the only way to God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All those great things that we have. I read a really disturbing comment from George Hunter, who's written a book recently about the church's main purpose, that they wrote an entire book on the church's main purpose. And he said, some churches have become the ecclesial equivalent of mules. Mules are useful, but they are genetically compromised so that they are incapable of reproduction. Ouch. Isn't that all? Yeah, that's a wow. Nobody say amen. You're right? That's not an amen, right? That's a wow statement. Imagine so many churches have lacked an ability to reproduce, and they're the equivalent of an ecclesial mule. That's a thing. And you know, it's very simple to answer the question as to why that's happened, because they've lost their sense of why. It's become a how. It's become a what. And, you know, the same is true, right, in almost every endeavor of your life. You know, your work, your school, your relationships, you know. When it's all become the how and the what, and you've lost the sense of the why, you become directionless, you become unfocused, you become uninspired, it becomes drudgery, it becomes work, it becomes a pain, it becomes futility, it becomes exhaustion. It becomes all those things that we don't like, stress and burnout and all that. But what drives us beyond the capacity of our own strength is a why that's rooted in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to be about. Always about the why. That's why we loved the service so much. last week because it's centered on the why. And as you know, I'm wearing this t-shirt again, and a number of people that you've seen wearing this t-shirt again, that my choice matters. What's really, what has happened in the leadership of this church was we got challenged once again about the whole question of why. Why is it that we do what we do? And why is it that you do what you do? If you're ever gotten up in the morning and said, why am I going to church? Right? Guilty? Right? Right? Okay? We've all been there. Have you all, you know, you got the family in the car and you do the parking lot thing, right? Everybody's fighting in the car. You get to the parking lot and everybody goes, whoop. Okay? Our family was the only one, eh? Okay, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. I just let out a baddie. Okay. All right? But we've all, why do I go to life group? Why do I volunteer? It's just, you know, one thing, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know what? It's because you're focused on the how and the what. Okay? The why is going to make all the difference in your life because you're doing this to the glory of God, for the sake of the kingdom, to honor Jesus our Lord. That's why. Because he has saved me, he has redeemed me, he has brought me into a relationship with our Heavenly Father, and he has promised eternity to me. He has given me everything. I am victorious over everything in my life that would come to try to beat me down and to throw me out and to cast me aside and to make me feel less than. And anything that makes me feel less than in the sight of God is not of Jesus Christ. And the why makes all the difference. And we exist for the why. And everything else becomes a byproduct of the why. So your choices matter. You might not think your choice matters. The morning that you get out and come to church and you think, ah, it's just church. Nobody's going to miss me. Nobody's going to make, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, the reality is people are going to look around and say, oh, so-and-so's not here. And they become discouraged. You know what? Your choice does matter. And this isn't a guilt thing about coming to church. Everybody's got busy. I know that. But trust me, there are moments where you decide not to do something that you could have easily have done because you didn't think it was important, but it did make a difference to somebody else. There's moments in your life when you say to somebody, I'm so glad you are who you are. And you think that's innocent, and that's a little step forward, and that's a choice that you made to say to somebody, and you became Jesus for them in that moment, and that choice mattered. You made a choice to go to life group when you didn't feel like it, and everything was all of that, and somebody heard something within that group that you had said and you had shared, and it made all the difference, and 20 years later, you find out that that was the thing that set them back on a path. And that was the night that you weren't going to go. But guess what? Your choice mattered, and it made a difference. You have people who you know, do all kinds of volunteer work, and you think you're in the Sunday school class, and you're with the two-year-olds, and my grandson is tormenting you, and you think, you know, right? And you think, he's never going to get this. And then I come home and he says to me, Papu, will you sing to me, Jesus Loves Me? And I know that somebody in the Sunday school taught him that. And I suddenly go, yeah, that choice mattered. See, our choices do matter. And we're gonna encourage you in every way possible, as you heard Matt talk about and the worship team talk about, that we're going to continue to celebrate and communicate this My Choice Matters. That for each and every one of you, we want you to participate as much as possible. So we build a community where everybody glorifies the name of Jesus Christ and know that every choice that they make in the direction of Jesus is going to make a difference, not just to themselves personally, ourselves personally, but to the people that we love and we care about, that we're in relationship with, and our future direction, that that's going to make all the difference in the world. Amen? Amen. Your choice matters. Ask yourself what choices you are going to make this week to make the world a better place for the sake of the kingdom and for the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you so much for your word and, Lord, the stories that demonstrate this great truth in our lives, that you were so committed to the why. It could have been all about the activity. It could have been all about the how and the what. But boy, there was such a greater purpose in all of this. And as churches and as organized parachurch organizations, when we lose the sense of why we do what we do, then everything becomes fuzzy. That we just become about the activity, but we lose clarity, we lose focus, we lose a purpose. And Lord, we're hearing about how many churches in Canada are closing because they don't hold to scriptural truth. They don't hold to Jesus as Lord. They've just become social clubs, and Lord, we can be social in so many ways. Lord, keep us focused on the why as we continue to honor you. Lord, thank you. Even as I pray in anticipation of our congregational meeting, and I thank you for the many volunteers, the many ministry leaders, the staff, the board, the elders, so many people who are invested in the why Village Green, and keep us looking forward in hopefulness for what you're going to continue to do in this church. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.